accept that fate as long as Case is free.
If I were being objective, I would admire her for her courage. She was willing to sacrifice herself for her family, and there wasn't a hint of hesitation in her voice. Her love blinded her to the pain, blinded her to reality.
Let me go, or I will kill you.
She looked me in the eye as she threatened me.
If you don't let me go, I'll never stop fighting. I'll never forgive you. I'll never let you touch me again. If Case dies, I die. And I would rather be the only person who has to make that sacrifice.
Her determination was powerful, and no amount of reason would change her mind. All that mattered was her brother's life, and nothing else was important. She meant every word she said, and unless she got what she wanted, she would never be the same. She left me with no choice. All right. I wasn't happy about this decision. I wasn't happy about the way it would affect me. But my woman wanted this more than anything else in the world, and I would give it to her. I stood in Heath's apartment and made the call.
So, Lucien said, what's your answer?
We agree to the trade. Lucien was quiet for a long time, obviously surprised by the decision.
If this is a game, you'll lose.
No game, and you better not pull a stupid stunt either. I'm bringing an army with me, and I'm not afraid to go to war.
That won't be necessary. Case is worthless, so I have no issue giving him up. Cassini, on the other hand, you said you would never give her up.
This was her decision. I tried to talk reason into her, but she refused to listen.
Yes,
he said.
She has a big heart. That's always been her destruction.
That woman still had the power to love, despite what she'd been through. Evan betrayed her, but she was still willing to make the same mistake for her brother, because she loved him so deeply. It would make my life easier if she were selfish and left her brother to his fate, but I probably wouldn't feel this way about her if that were the case. Then we have a deal. I hung up. Heath stood beside me, his eyes watching my reaction.
You're really going to do this?
Yes. Heath didn't try to talk me out of it, even though it was the worst plan I'd ever had.
And I can't talk you out of it?
I shook my head. No. There's no other way.
Chapter 9. Cassini. Balto made the right decision. If he'd stood in my way, I would have clawed my way out. I would have found one of his guns and shot him if I had to. Nothing was going to stop me from saving Case, my older brother, the patriarch of my family. I had to save him because I loved him. But I also had to save him because this wasn't his fight. He was an innocent person being punished because he loved me. I was the idiot for sacrificing myself for Evan. That was how all of this started. Case shouldn't be the one to pay for it. I was certain he hoped I wouldn't agree to the exchange. He would rather die so I could be free. But I couldn't let that happen. Thankfully, Balto didn't stop me. He understood my love for my brother outweighed everything else. He knew I would never be happy if Lucien murdered Case. He knew I had to do this. I bet he even respected me for it. The three of us drove in the blacked-out SUV to the meeting point in the middle of Tuscany. It was pitch black and foggy from the winter cold. The exchange would take place in the middle of nowhere, so there would be no witnesses. I'd thought I would be scared, but I wasn't afraid at all. Not in the least. If anything, I was anxious. I wanted my brother to be free as soon as possible. Once Lucien had his hands on me, he would beat me, rape me, and then crush my skull. I didn't care at all. Better me than Case. Balto was quiet, his hands on the wheel and his eyes on the road. He hadn't said much to me since our emotional conversation. We didn't spend our last hours together with lovemaking. I was too depressed, and he was too busy orchestrating the meeting tonight. I turned to him, seeing the hard expression on his face. Thank you. He didn't look at me. Thank you for letting me do this. He finally turned my way, his blue eyes stoic but intense. He held the look for a moment before he faced forward again. He was angry with me for my decision, but at least he didn't stand in my way. That was the most I could ask for. Heath sat in the back, his hoodie pulled over his head with a bulletproof vest under his clothes. When headlights were visible, I knew we were approaching the meeting site. This was really happening. We came to a slow stop, the other cars forming a line across the road, the grass on either side of us. I could see Lucian's men all armed and prepared for battle. Lucian must still be in the car because he wasn't visible. Balto turned off the ignition, but left the battery on so the headlights illuminated the space between us. He gripped the handle to open the door. I grabbed his arm and leaned over the center console to kiss him. My hands cupped his cheeks, and I kissed him hard, not caring that Heath could see everything if he wanted to look. My fingers slowly moved into his hair as I continued the embrace. He kissed me back, his lips soft and affectionate. I wanted to tell this man how I felt, since it was the last chance I would ever have. He wasn't the man I'd been looking for. In fact, I'd hated him in the beginning. But now he was the man in my heart. I wanted him home every night because he wasn't just my captor, but my man. Our relationship was ending sooner than we wanted, and it was hard to say goodbye. He pulled away first, then pressed his lips to my forehead. I closed my eyes because he'd never kissed me like that before. It was gentle and soft, full of the kind of affection he never showed me. It was the kind of embrace a man deeply in love gave his woman. I sat back and looked into his eyes. They weren't blank like before. They were packed with emotion, so many things at once that a single feeling couldn't be identified. The words came pouring out of my mouth. Balto,
We have to go.
He opened the door and hopped out. I stayed in the front seat for a moment, seeing him stand beside the SUV and ignoring my look. When I swallowed his cold rejection, I got out of the car and came to his side.
Stay behind me.
He grabbed my arm and pulled me back.
Let me handle this.
He turned to his brother.
Heath, stay with her. All right.
Heath came to my side, his gun held in his left hand. Balto stepped forward, entering no man's land as all the lights blanketed his physique. Alone, he walked until he was in the middle, his powerful frame unmistakable in his t-shirt. Without armor or a weapon, he still looked like the most intimidating man in the world. Lucian got out of the car and slowly came forward, wearing a black suit. Case was nowhere in sight. Balto spoke when Lucian was directly in front of him.
Where is he? He's here.
Lucian's eyes landed on me. With just a simple look, he conveyed all of his rage. He wanted to punish me for making him look like a fool. He wanted revenge for my affair. He wanted to fuck me until I cried. Then he wanted to kill me, to watch the light leave my eyes after he triumphed over my dead corpse. I wasn't afraid of that deadly promise. All I wanted was my brother. Nothing else mattered. I stared back at him, refusing to be scared. Maybe I was only brave in that moment because of all the adrenaline.
Show him to me.
Balto's back was to me, but his voice painted an image of his features. Lucian turned to his men and gave a nod. They opened the back door of an SUV and dragged Case out. Handcuffed with bruises all over his face, he looked like he had been imprisoned for days. Tears sprang to my eyes, but I fought them back. When I was in Lucian's captivity, I would find a way to kill him. I would steal a knife from the kitchen and stab him in the neck when he was on top of me. Lucian turned back to Balto.
Let's make the trade.
I stepped forward. Heath grabbed me by the arm and yanked me back.
Hold on.
Balto kept his arms by his sides. He didn't hold a gun like everyone else, which was surprising considering his status as their leader. but right now he was the negotiator.
I have something better to offer you.
Lucian smiled.
Something better than my wife?
Hope sparked in my heart. Perhaps Balto had found a way around the dilemma. Maybe he would offer Lucian something more valuable than me. Maybe we could get Case back and secure my freedom at the same time.
Yes,
Balto said.
Cassini is just a woman. Yes, she betrayed you, but she's not remarkable. She has no power or connections. She's not a threat to your organization. I can offer you something much better than a woman. What?
Lucian asked, looking at Balto. Balto stepped forward.
Me.
My heart dropped into my stomach. What? Balto kept talking.
I'm the Skull King. I'm your biggest enemy. If you take me instead of her, you could kill me once and for all. With me out of the way, the Skull Kings will be in chaos. And wouldn't you rather punish the man who slept with your wife? Make him pay for what he did?
Oh my God. I tried to run past Heath. No! Now I understood that this had been Balto's plan all along. He'd never intended to give me up in the first place. That was why he'd agreed so easily. He was taking my place, saving me and my brother in the process. Heath's strong grip kept me steady.
There's nothing you can do.
I started to scream, Balto, no! Don't do this! Lucian looked at me for a long while before he looked at Balto.
Not only did you sleep with my wife, but you fell in love with her.
Balto ignored his words.
I'm the better choice. Take me instead.
Sobs choked my throat. No, please! Lucian looked at me again before he turned back to Balto.
I have to admit this is fun to watch. When I kill you, I can hunt her down. You'll never be able to find her,
Balto responded.
My men will see to that. And before your men have a chance to hunt you down, I'll strap you with explosives and blow you into a million pieces.
Lucian stared him down.
There will be nothing left to bury. There will be nothing left to remember. I accept your offer.
No! I slammed my fists into Heath so I could get past. Lucian, take me, please! Lucian smiled and turned away.
Cuff him.
No! I slid to my knees on the asphalt. Case was pushed forward so he would cross the center and come to our side. He walked slowly, like any false moves would get him shot. He came to our side, then approached me.
Cassini?
Lucian turned and punched Balto in the face. Balto hardly even moved. The men pulled his hands together in front of him and cuffed his wrists together. Balto didn't fight. Lucian punched him again. Balto turned with the hit slightly, then spat out blood.
If you really want to hurt me, have your men do it. You don't know how to hit a man.
Lucian snapped his fingers and walked away. Two of his men stepped forward and started slamming their fists into his body, hitting him in the face and slugging him in the stomach. No! I covered my face and sobbed because I couldn't watch it. God! I heard their fists assaulting his hard body, heard the subtle grunts he made as he took the beating. Then I heard his body crash to the ground as the men started to kick him. I sobbed harder than I ever had.
Come on!
Heath grabbed me by the arm and dragged me into the back seat. Do something! I smacked him in the chest. He's your brother! Do something!
Balto honors his deals.
He shut the door and enabled the child safety locks. Case got into the truck beside me, his face bruised and swollen. Heath got into the driver's seat and pulled away, turning around so I wouldn't have to see Balto's body in the middle of the road, beaten and bloody. Case wrapped his arm around my shoulder and held me, but he didn't say any empty words to comfort me. I didn't want him to do this. I never would have asked him to do this. My throat was sore from crying so hard, from leaving him behind when it was never his sacrifice to make. I should be the one who was beaten and bloody, not him. Heath kept his eyes on the road as he drove away.
You didn't have to ask him to do anything. That man will do anything for you. And you should have known that.
I took Evan's place, and now Balto took my place. I sacrificed myself for a man who didn't love me, and now I had a man who would do anything for me. The realization only hurt me more, only made me die a million deaths. We have to do something, Heath. We can't just let this happen. He took a deep breath.
There's nothing we can do. I have to get you to safety so Lucian never finds you. That's what Balto wants. That's what he asked me to do. And I'll honor his last request.
Chapter 10 Balto. I was cuffed to the metal chair, sitting in a sterile room with only fluorescent lights overhead. When his men had driven back to the estate, I was surprised he wasn't taking me to a more secure location. If he intended to make good on his threat, it didn't make sense to do it on his own property. Lucian stepped into the room, pushing a cart full of equipment. He came to the table beside me and laid out a vest along with wires and explosives. Meticulously, he set everything out so I could see it. I glanced at his supplies, then looked at him again. If you're trying to intimidate me, it's not working.
No,
he smiled, like this moment brought him so much joy.
I don't need to intimidate you. I'm happy enough as it is.
He began constructing the bomb.
When I detonate this vest, you'll be in so many pieces that even your teeth will be lost.
Good. That'll be a bitch to clean up. There was something oddly calming about imminent death. When there was nothing that could be done to avoid it, it was peaceful. I only had 30 minutes of life left to live, but I was okay with that. I'd never imagined this was how I would go, by taking the place of a woman, but I didn't have any regrets. All I wanted was for her to be happy, to have the life that was taken from her. Now she knew how a real man treated a woman, how a man should sacrifice everything for his woman. She'd wasted her heart on Evan, a man who didn't deserve her. But I deserved her. Lucian took a seat and started working.
I took Case to hurt her, but taking the man she loves is much better. Watching that woman sob her heart out is vengeance enough, and now I can finally get rid of you. Two birds, one stone.
I watched him piece everything together. If you make the wrong move, can this detonate right now?
That's always a possibility.
Good. I faced forward. So, if I distract you enough, maybe we'll both die. He chuckled.
I'm the best for a reason. I don't make mistakes.
Except when you crossed me. He looked up from his work, his smile gone.
You're the one about to be blown to pieces. So I think I won that match.
Your brother would disagree. He hooked the vest onto my body.
I have to admit, you're taking this better than the others. Most men would have shit themselves by now.
Because they didn't volunteer for this, I did. His men gripped my arms and marched me out of the room. Lucian walked beside us.
When the final beep from the alarm goes off, that will be the last sound you hear in this life. Then the fire will rise and burn whatever body parts are left over from the explosion. I have to ask, was she really worth it?
I kept my eyes straight ahead as they marched me outside.
It's a sad way for the Skull King to go. Who will inherit your ring?
I'd left my ring behind because I wasn't letting him have it. We all have to die sometime, right?
For a woman?
He asked incredulously.
Sure, she's beautiful, but she's unremarkable in every other way.
You don't believe that. You just tell yourself that, to make yourself feel better. She prefers fucking a real man to being the prisoner of some spineless pussy. Lucian nodded. One of his men slugged me in the stomach. I didn't let out a single sound of discomfort. We marched across the compound until we approached a building in the corner. It wasn't much larger than a two-car garage. A road didn't lead to the area, so it seemed like a shed. I'd never paid attention to it before. We entered the building, and I spotted a room constructed out of solid concrete. The door that led to it was black and manufactured from an indistinguishable metal. Lucien opened the door and revealed another metal chair.
Take a seat.
I stepped inside, hearing the echo of my steps in the small room. It was a confined space, powerful enough to contain the blast so no one would hear it. There were black marks all over the place, the result of other explosions, of other deaths. This was the last place I would ever visit, the last room I would ever see before I left this earth. If heaven and hell existed, I knew exactly where I was going. I sat down, the vest an extra 20 pounds on my frame. Lucien stopped in front of me, his hands resting in his pockets. He stared at me with a slight smile, like he was enjoying every single moment.
I win. You lose.
That still remains to be seen.
Death is pretty final.
My men are loyal to me, unlike yours. Eventually, they'll get their retribution. Don't expect mercy. He smiled.
We'll see. And when I get my wife back, I'll fuck her and think of you.
He pulled a remote out of his pocket and hit the button. The small screen on the wall displayed a countdown. 10 minutes.
I'll let you enjoy the countdown. Most men don't even last this long before they start crying, so congratulations.
I stared at him blankly, refusing to feel anything for this man. He could torment me all he wanted, but it didn't change my victory. Cassini was alive and well, far away from his clutches. I wouldn't survive this, but she would. That made all of this worth it. Goodbye, Lucien. He nodded.
Goodbye, Balto.
He walked out and shut the metal door behind him. My eyes shifted to the clock, seeing the seconds tick by. My death felt anticlimactic. I was the Skull King. I deserved something better than this. But I let it happen because I didn't have any other choice. Giving Cassini away wasn't an option. I'd die before I allowed that to happen. Before we got out of the truck, it seemed like she was going to tell me she loved me. Maybe I should have given her the chance to say the words, but at the time, it was too difficult. Maybe I shouldn't have been a coward and told her how I felt when I had the chance. But maybe it was so obvious that I didn't need to say anything at all. Maybe it was better this way.
Chapter 11. Cassini. We arrived on the top floor, and I was still in tears. Heath, this is Balto, your brother. We're going to stand by and do nothing? Do you understand how ludicrous that is? Case came to my side.
I agree. There has to be something we can do. We have all his men who can help us. We can't just give up.
No, we need to do something, and we need to do it now. I walked farther into the room, then stopped when I noticed something on the kitchen table. I halted as I examined it, trying to figure out what it was. When I came closer, I recognized the ring, the skull diamond Balto always wore. It was on a necklace, and there was a note. Baby, I'll always be the Skull King, and you'll always be my queen. Tears dripped down my cheeks as I lifted the necklace and examined the flawless diamond he wore every day. Enormous and beautiful, it was a ring so big that it would never fit on any of my fingers. That was probably why he'd put it on a chain. I placed the necklace around my throat and turned back around. Heath looked away, like the sight was too painful. Case? My brother came toward me, his face bruised and swollen from the abuse he'd received while with Lucien. I lowered my voice so Heath couldn't hear. I need you to help me.
Help you what? He whispered.
Lucien said he would use his explosives on Balto. When he's killed his other enemies the same way, he uses a small building on his property. It's made to buffer the sound so no one will hear it. That's probably where he's doing it.
All right, but what does that matter? If there's really a bomb vest on Balto's body, we can't just disarm it.
I'd lived with Lucien for years. He'd asked me to keep him company even when he was working, so I saw him in the lab all the time. He'd even taught me how to disarm bombs if someone ever tried to take me away from him. I think I can. Case's eyebrow rose.
You're serious?
Lucian taught me a few things while I lived there.
But are you sure? He asked. Because if you're wrong, you both die.
Yes, and even if I weren't sure, I'd still have to do this. Case glanced at Heath.
We're going to need his help. I'm not going to be able to get you to that compound without him. There are men posted everywhere, I'm sure. We won't be able to do it alone.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Heath watched us with suspicious eyes.
What are you two talking about over there?
Case looked at me.
If he's difficult, I'll distract him while you run for it.
All right. I moved closer to Heath. I think I can disarm the bomb if you get me to it. Heath crossed his arms over his chest.
Why do you think that?
Because Lucian taught me. His eyes narrowed.
Even if that's the case, we have no idea where he is.
I know exactly where he is, and I need you to take me there. Heath continued to watch me, arguing with himself in silence. He had his orders from Balto, but if there were any chance he could save his brother, he would want to take it.
Balto wants me to keep you safe, not get you killed. It would make this whole thing pointless.
That's a chance I'm willing to take. Are you with us or not? Heath placed his hands on his hips, looking pissed, just the way Balto did.
If we pull this off, he's going to kill me.
I finally smiled, the tears still fresh. Let's go. Heath took out the men guarding the perimeter. There were only a handful on that side of the wall, so he took each one without much fuss. Bodies hit the ground and we pressed up against the stone wall. Case knotted his fingers together to give me a lift.
I'll throw you over. Let me go first so I can cover her.
Heath stepped on his hand and jumped to the top of the wall. He pulled himself over, then dropped to the other side. When silence continued, we assumed everything had gone well. Case helped me next.
Be careful, all right?
I will.
I'm serious, he said. If you can't figure out how to disarm it, you need to leave. No sense in getting yourself killed. I need you, all right?
Okay, Case, we really don't have time to talk about this. I jumped on his hand, then launched myself onto the other side. Heath caught me, then pulled out his gun. He nodded to the small building I'd described.
Get in there. I'll keep an eye right here.
The area was covered by trees and bushes, as if Lucian was trying to keep it hidden in plain sight on the property. All right.
And Cassini?
I turned back to him.
Remember how worried you were about Case? Well, this is my brother, so please disarm that bomb.
I nodded, touched by what he said. I'll do my best. I moved to the door and was relieved it was unlocked. I stepped inside and came face to face with the concrete cushion that would keep the bomb contained. The door was made of black metal, the room behind it so small that most furniture wouldn't be able to fit inside. I turned the knob and was pleased to find it was also unlocked. I stepped inside and came face to face with Balto, who sat in the small chair and wore the exact expression I expected him to have. Stoic and emotionless, he didn't look the least bit scared that a bomb was about to rip him into a million pieces. But my heart ached at the sight. The vest around his body was attached to the chair, so he couldn't move even with the door unlocked. This man took my place and accepted a fate he didn't deserve. It made me want to cry again. He finally said something.
What the fuck are you doing?
He wasn't happy to see me. On the contrary, he was livid. The vein on his forehead pounded through the skin, and the red tint of his face showed his true rage.
Get the hell out of here. Now.
I turned to the timer on the wall. He only had 2 minutes left. I had to hurry. I kneeled in front of him and examined all the wires and nodes. Lucian had more explosives wired than usual, probably because he really wanted to decimate Balto's body entirely. I pulled out the scissors from my back pocket.
Baby, leave. Don't make me ask you again.
Shut up, all right? I felt the wires with my fingers and traced each one, trying to determine the correct one in order to disarm the bomb without making it explode. I'm concentrating.
You cut the wrong wire and we're both dead. I didn't take your place so you could die. Now get out of here!
I'm not leaving you. I lifted my gaze and looked at him, even though I was wasting time. We're in this together. If you die, I die. Man and woman, we go together. Now let me focus on what I'm doing. Lucian taught me how to disarm his bombs. If you would shut up for a few seconds, I might be able to figure it out. He clenched his jaw in irritation, but didn't say a word. I looked at my hands and studied what I was doing. The color of the wire was meaningless in this case, because Lucian didn't build his bombs that way. All that mattered was the connection. I had to sever the wire that was connected to the power that would ignite the explosion. The only way to do that was to trace it. It took me 45 seconds to narrow it down.
Baby, you need to leave. You only have 30 seconds.
I got it. I held the scissors to the wire.
Don't cut it unless...
I cut it. The countdown froze. Balto looked at the timer, in awe that it had stopped. Then he slowly turned his head to me, shocked that I managed to stop it in time. I rose to my feet and pulled a knife out of my pocket. I sliced the vest off his body, getting him free so we could leave the explosives behind. We've got to move quick. He'll notice the clock stopped and he'll detonate it himself. Balto tossed the vest in the corner once it was loose, then moved to the door. We both got through the door and shut it just before the explosion hit. The door immediately felt hot, going from a few degrees to 1,000, and the sound nearly popped my eardrums. Balto took my hand, and we hurried outside. Heath emerged from behind a tree.
This way. Come on.
Balto gave his brother an incredulous look.
You're part of this?
Heath hugged him hard, lowering his gun so he could embrace his brother.
I love you, man.
Balto dropped his anger and hugged him back.
I love you, too. Now let's get out of here.
Heath released him and nodded to the wall.
He'll check on the damage any minute, and it'll take 2 seconds for him to realize you didn't explode with that bomb.
He moved to the wall and put his hands together.
Cassini, you first.
I stepped on his hands and crawled over the wall. Be quick. I dropped to the other side. Case grabbed my arm.
Did he?
Yes, Balto is okay, but Lucian is going to figure it out any minute, and we have to haul ass. My brother smiled at me, pride in his eyes.
I can't believe you did it. You disarmed a bomb. That's crazy.
I shrugged. Lucian shouldn't have underestimated me.
Chapter 12. Balto. We piled into the SUV and took off. Heath pressed down on the gas, making us speed down the country road back to the city. We had only minutes before Lucian figured out what happened. He might send his men to chase us, or he might realize he was too late. I was pissed about a lot of things. I was pissed Cassini risked her life for mine. I was pissed my brother betrayed me and helped her. I was pissed Lucian tried to blow me into a million pieces. I would never admit it to her, but I was fiercely proud of the stunt she'd just pulled. Like a badass, she walked in there without a hint of fear, found the correct wire, and saved my ass. Most people would have been too cowardly to do that, but not this woman. She was loyal to me, just as loyal as one of my own men. But I was still pissed at her. She sat beside me and reached up to touch the bruising on my face. I pushed down her arm. I'm fine. I pulled out my phone and called Brutus.
Balto?
He blurted into the phone, surprised to see my name on the screen.
Is that really you?
Yes, it's me.
Wait, how did you...
No time for small talk. Round up all the men. We're hitting Lucian at his estate. Brutus stopped asking questions.
You got it, Balto. You'll have to tell me how you escaped when this is all over.
Preferably over a bottle of scotch. I hung up. Heath looked at me in the rearview mirror.
I'll head back to the compound.
No, go to the underground, I ordered. We need supplies.
Well, what about Cassini and Case?
Heath asked.
What do we do with them?
We'll leave them at the underground. They'll be safe there. Cassini turned on me, her eyes wide in offense.
I'm not staying behind.
You bet your ass you are. I faced forward, being cold to her when I should be thanking her. I wanted to show my gratitude and how much her loyalty meant to me, but I didn't want to encourage that kind of behavior. She could have cut the wrong wire and killed us both. I'd sacrificed myself so she would live a long and happy life. You've done enough for the day.
You're kidding, right?
She asked.
I just saved your life and you're pissed at me?
Damn right I am. I couldn't control my expression as I stared at her. I was so livid at her impulse decision. You should have let me die. I took your place so you would be safe. If that had gone in another direction, it would have been a complete waste.
But it didn't, she snapped. Now stop being an asshole.
She slapped her hand across my face. I turned, with the hit, adoring her even more for calling me out on my bullshit. I was being a dick and I knew it. There were so many emotions inside my chest that I didn't know how to process them. Just minutes ago, I'd made my peace with my imminent death, and now I was looking into the eyes of the woman who risked her life to save mine.
I'm coming with you,
she said firmly. Like hell you are, I countered. It's going to be a massacre. I can't slaughter those men and protect you at the same time.
Lucien is mine. I want to be the one to kill him. I'm not sitting back at the underground and waiting for news. That man ruined my life, and I deserve to be the one to pull the trigger. To watch the light leave his eyes as I stand over him in victory. I know he's wronged you, but he's been a million times worse to me. Let me have this. You owe me.
I owe you, I whispered.
I saved your life. Now give me Lucien's.
I preferred to have this conversation in private, but we didn't have a choice. We were too pressed for time. Heath watched us in the rearview mirror.
Let her have it. Come on, she's earned it.
She turned to him.
Thank you.
Stay out of this. I kept my eyes on her beautiful face, seeing a woman who was confident, not scared. She clung to me for protection because I was the only thing in the world that made her feel safe, but now the adrenaline was in her veins, making her braver than she'd ever been before. She'd outsmarted Lucien by cutting that wire, and now she wanted more. She wanted to finish the job, finish him.
Please.
Her voice filled the car even as a whisper. I deserved to kill Lucien as much as she did. He'd stolen something irreplaceable, started a war we could never finish. He was a pompous prick who had been my enemy for years. The fact that he hurt this woman so much made me feel even more entitled to his death. But I knew she'd suffered in ways I could never understand. She was forced to submit to a cruel man, to be a trophy wife that he showed off to the world. She'd been tricked into that position. This guy didn't just keep her as a prisoner, but he'd manipulated her into being the prisoner he wanted. She deserved this closure. All right. Relief filled her gaze.
Thank you.
We'll take out his men and clear the area. When we have our victory, I'll bring you in so you can execute him.
Thank you,
she repeated. I faced forward now that the conversation was over. Case borrowed Heath's phone and called Dirk to let him know he was okay. I felt Cassini stare at me, felt her gaze roam over the side of my face. She examined my cuts and bruises, but she also examined the line of my jaw and the look in my eyes. A silent conversation passed between us, a prelude to the real thing. We would have to discuss what happened eventually, even though it was so obvious that words seemed redundant. I took her place because it was the only choice I had. I'd never thought I would survive the ordeal, so I hadn't thought I'd have to face her again, but now that I lived, she knew how I felt. She would question me about it, and I would be backed into a corner. Dying would have solved all my problems. We left Case behind and headed to the estate with the entire army of Skull Kings. Lucien didn't stand a chance. If he were smart, he would have taken off and headed to the airport, but if he were smarter, he would have understood there was nowhere to run. He'd had me in his custody, a bomb strapped to my chest, and I'd still slipped out of his grasp. We could keep playing this game forever, but we both knew how it ended. His life wouldn't be spared any more because of the diamond. His death was far more valuable at this point. We approached the estate and parked on the side of the road. Cassini sat beside me, a bulletproof vest wrapped around her chest. She had a pistol, which I didn't need to show her how to use. She'd stolen Heath's gun weeks ago, knew how to turn off the safety, and she had good aim. I killed the engine and looked at her. "I'll come back for you." She watched my men gather outside the vehicles and prepare to take the estate. Two tanks were in the front, and they would barrel through the gates and kill most of the men before we set foot on the property. She turned to me, concern in her eyes, even though this was a slam dunk.
"Be careful."
"I'm always careful." She stared into my eyes, her green emeralds shifting back and forth slightly as she looked at me. She'd been fired up just minutes ago, but now she was concerned once more, just as she was when I left the house in the middle of the night.
"I just got you back, and I'm afraid to let you go again."
Now wasn't the time for this conversation. My men were waiting for me to lead the assault. It would be easy for me to stare into her beautiful eyes forever, but there would be time for that later. "I'll come back, I promise."
"You can't make a promise like that."
"Yes, I can." My hand cupped her neck, and my fingers slid underneath her hair. I leaned in and kissed her hard on the mouth, grateful that I was able to do this again. My mouth treasured hers for only seconds before I pulled away. I didn't look at her again as I left the SUV and joined my men. I wore a bulletproof vest at Cassini's request, and I had my guns strapped to my belt. A knife was in my back pocket, but my best weapons were my boots, because crushing skulls was my game.
"Let's go. Tanks first."
The tanks rammed the iron gates until they caved under the high pressure. They were pressed aside, bent like pieces of straw. Gunfire began as Lucien's men tried to hold their position on the property, but against two tanks, that wasn't going to happen. When the tanks took out the foot soldiers, we moved in. Dead bodies lay everywhere, blood soaking into the perfectly manicured gardens that surrounded the property. Only a few men remained behind, using the house for cover. They were outnumbered, but they continued to fight anyway. I raised my hand so my men would stop shooting.
"If you surrender, you will be spared. But I have one condition. You join our ranks and hunt down your master with us. Help us locate him and you'll be set free."
I knew exactly how these men would respond. They weren't loyal to an asshole like Lucien. They only fought for a paycheck. Loyalty was something you couldn't buy. It was earned through respect, something Lucien lacked. They lowered their weapons and emerged from their cover. I grinned, because it was another form of vengeance. I got his own men to turn on him with just a few simple words. When Lucien was held at gunpoint by his own men, it would make this moment more delicious. "Bring him to me. Now." Every single man turned on his master, and they entered the building in search of him. It was only minutes later when he was dragged out, his men holding each arm as he was forced down the steps and into my presence.
"Traitors!"
Lucien tried to twist out of their grasp, but it was pointless. Every man on that property had marked Lucien as his enemy. The execution was so sad it was almost difficult to watch. Almost. They threw Lucien at my feet. He fell to the ground, lacking the will to rise once again. He stared at the ground, so ashamed that he couldn't look up to make eye contact. He breathed hard, panicked and covered in sweat despite the winter chill. I patiently waited for him to meet my gaze. His humiliation was so entertaining. He finally found the strength to look up, to see the man he'd tried to blow up just an hour ago.
How did you escape? It's not possible.
Heath stepped onto the property with Cassini in tow, ushering her onto the estate so she could pull the trigger herself. I kept my eyes on Lucien, despising this man for everything he'd done to her. I was angrier about that than anything he ever did to me, including when he tried to blow me up. Cassini came to my side, her head held high as she triumphed over her tormentor. In black jeans and a black top, she looked like the sexiest soldier I'd ever seen. She studied him, savoring this moment.
I deactivated the bomb. I cut the wire and set him free.
Lucien's gaze hardened in rage, but then, slowly, that anger disappeared because he realized it didn't matter. He'd won a few battles, but he'd lost the war. He'd tried to keep this woman as a prisoner, but she was like a wild animal. She didn't belong in a cage. She became bigger and stronger and then turned into an enormous threat.
I risked my life to save his. You don't have anyone who would do that for you. No one loves you. Your men aren't loyal to you, and you're a man without honor. I'm surprised you didn't put a gun in your mouth when you saw us crash your gates. But then I realized you're too much of a coward to do that. You're weak. You're pathetic. I never thought I would look forward to being a widow, but I can't wait. Whatever assets that become mine will be donated to the poor of this city. You lived a despicable life. But your legacy will redeem your evil.
He lowered his gaze back to the ground.
Just to get on with it.
With pleasure.
She walked into the house and disappeared. I had no idea what she was doing, but I kept my impassive expression and watched Lucien. Maybe she went for a kitchen knife so she could butcher him. A stab to the stomach would lead to a long and painful death. Or maybe she wanted to find something heavy to smash his skull in. Her rage was so deep that she probably wanted to make his death as violent as possible. She returned a moment later, holding a vest identical to the one he'd put on me. Wired with explosives, it would blow him into a million tiny pieces. I couldn't keep the pride out of my eyes. She wanted revenge for what he'd done to me, and the idea was so good, I couldn't believe I hadn't thought of it myself. She strapped it around his body and locked it in place. He started to shake.
Cassini, I'm sorry, okay?
Don't beg, she said coldly. It just makes me want to kill you more.
She reached into her pocket and pulled out a necklace. On the end of it was the skull diamond. The piece of property Lucien had wrongly taken from me. She held it out to me.
He tried to hide it in the house, but I know where all the good hiding places are.
She dropped it into my open palm. I grinned. Thanks, baby. I placed it in my pocket. She held up the remote.
Walk into the house, Lucien.
He stayed on the ground, his limbs shaking with panic.
Please.
Did you shit yourself? I asked, repeating the words he'd said to me. Because most men shit themselves by now.
Don't do this to me, Lucien whispered. I'll give you anything, anything at all.
The only thing I want is your death, and you will give it to me.
She kicked him in the face.
Now go. Walk yourself in there with some honor, or have our men escort you. These are your final moments. How do you want to spend them?
He started to cry, crawling at her feet like the biggest pussy in the world.
Mercy! Please, mercy!
She kicked him again.
You gave Balto no such mercy when you strapped that vest to his body. When the timer stopped, you hit the detonator yourself. You gave me no mercy when you raped me every night. You gave me no mercy when you slugged me in the stomach when I disobeyed you. You're a man of no mercy, so you will get none from me.
She nodded to two of my men.
Take him inside. Let him burn with the only things that matter to him. Things.
The men grabbed him and dragged him away.
Please!
Tears streaked down his cheeks, and his eyes were squeezed closed. He kicked his feet as he tried to get away, but there was no way to stop this. His cries grew louder as he was brought closer to the house, closer to his death. They dragged him through the front door and placed him somewhere in the house. His screams were still audible because he was hysterical. The men stepped out and returned to our side. Cassini stepped forward, her thumb resting over the detonator. She stared at her former home, her former prison. She seemed to commit the moment to memory, tried to preserve it so she could remember it forever. Any second now, she would truly be free. The man who haunted her for years would be nothing but ash and particles. She took a deep breath before she hit the button. The house immediately exploded, the fire rising instantly. Pieces of wood and stone flew into the sky, then came crashing down. The sound was loud enough that everyone in Florence definitely heard it. Lucien's screams disappeared the second her thumb hit the trigger, and the sound of the detonation was oddly beautiful. His house was destroyed, turned into a pile of burning wood and smoke. Pieces of paper floated through the air. The fire gradually rose as it burned everything in sight, but then smoldered once there was nothing left to burn. The heat of the flames could be felt at this distance, making it feel like summer rather than winter. She continued to stand there with her thumb on the trigger, enjoying her moment of freedom. Now her tormentor was officially gone. She was a free woman, a woman who had her whole life ahead of her. She breathed deeply as she enjoyed the satisfaction, felt the adrenaline of revenge. I came up behind her and grabbed both of her arms. My chin rested on her head, and I stared at the destruction with her, knowing that we'd done this together. I felt all her joy, felt all her relief, and I shared it with her.
Chapter 13. Cassini. When Case's gaze settled on me, I saw more emotion in his eyes than I'd ever seen him express. In that moment, he looked so much like Father, it seemed like he'd come back from the dead. He rushed to me and wrapped his arms around me, like I was the one who had been kidnapped and not him.
Sorella, are you all right?
I'm fine, Case. Not a scratch. He rested his palm against the back of my head and cradled me just the way Father had. It was the longest time he'd ever held me, expressing more affection than anyone thought he was capable of.
Is he gone?
Yes. He squeezed me tighter.
Good. That means it's over.
Yeah. When he pulled away, he kissed me on the forehead.
I love you, Sorella. I know I don't say it enough.
I know you do. I squeezed his wrists. And I love you, too. I smiled at him, feeling the tears in my eyes. I'm sorry that you got mixed up in this. Did he?
It's in the past now. He's dead, so it doesn't matter. I'm okay, you're okay, and Balto is okay, so we can all move on.
Yes, let's move on. Lucien had taken up enough of our time. He'd tortured all of us in his own way. Now that he was dead, it was time to reclaim all that lost time. It was time for us to get our lives back.
What will you do now?
He released my hands and rested his arms by his sides.
You're a free woman. You can go anywhere you want. You know there's always room at my place if you need a place to stay for a while.
My freedom didn't mean much to me anymore. I'd been living with Balto for so long, I couldn't imagine being anywhere else. That compound was my home. His bed was my bed. I didn't want to get my own apartment or move in with my brother. It had been all I wanted before, but now, none of that seemed desirable. Thanks. I haven't given it much thought, but I'll let you know what I've decided. Balto said that this would end eventually, that he didn't see a future for us, but he'd also sacrificed his life to save mine. That could only mean one thing. Perhaps his feelings had changed.
All right.
Balto joined us, parts of his face swollen from the hits he'd taken in the middle of the street.
This is the underground. Not much to see. It's mostly just booze and weapons, but I can show you around if you want.
I eyed the high-backed throne that sat on a dais above the floor. Skulls were carved into the black wood, and it was undoubtedly where he sat every night and watched over his men with a drink in his hand. I would have been interested in the place before, but after what had happened, I just wanted to leave. There was a topless woman working the bar, and she served the men as they came in, along with Lucian's former soldiers. She had pierced nipples and a pretty face, and I didn't like the idea of Balto looking at her every night while he was here. I think I'm ready to go. Case, do you need a ride?
No. Dirk is picking me up. We'll probably have a drink before we go. We like it here.
I bet. I glanced at the waitress, then rolled my eyes. Case chuckled.
We enjoy the company, but the liquor is good, too.
I rolled my eyes. Whatever you say. Balto took my hand and pulled me out of the underground. His truck was parked at the curb instead of in the indoor garage. Now that Lucian was gone, Balto probably didn't see the point in being cautious. We got inside and drove back to the compound. The sun was rising. We'd been up all night, and everything that happened seemed like a long blur. Maybe it was because I was so tired, or maybe it was because I was so relieved. The man who'd haunted me every single day was gone. Now I felt lighter than a feather. We arrived at the compound, then took the elevator to the top floor. Home was exactly as I remembered it. The last time I was here, I was in tears because I thought I'd lost Balto for good. I'd spotted his necklace and placed it around my neck, carrying his presence with me so it seemed like he was right next to my heart. Balto was quiet as usual. He said nothing as he pulled the gun out of the back of his jeans and tossed it on the entryway table. He moved down the hallway, undressed, and then got into the shower. I was too tired to shower. I stripped off all my clothes and got under the sheets, feeling the heavy diamond right between my breasts. I'd only been wearing it for a few hours, so I wasn't used to it. I was surprised Balto wore something so heavy on his hand constantly. He was much stronger than me, but the weight still had to be a burden. I must have drifted to sleep because his movements woke me up. My eyes opened, and I saw him getting into bed naked and clean. He pulled the sheets back and lay beside me, smelling like body soap instead of gunpowder and metal. I'm too tired to shower. He hooked my leg over his hip and wrapped his large arm around my waist. His eyes settled on the necklace that hung from my throat,